Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm concluding my third week of teaching entitled A Sure Foundation. And this is just emphasizing how essential the Word of God is to your life. And this is a truth that most people shake their head and say, oh yes, I know that. But in practice, very few people meditate in the Word of God day and night, as it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Most Christians actually departmentalize their life, and they have a religious part or a Christian part and then a secular part. And they just don't let the Word of God permeate everything in their life. And I'm telling you that if you want the results that the Word of God promises, then you have to let the Word of God take root in you. And I've already said this. I won't go back through the whole thing, but let me just quickly refer to this again, that in the parable I dealt with, first of all, out of Mark chapter 4, verse 26, it says this man just took the seed, planted it in the ground, and slept and rose night and day, and the seed just sprung and grew up of itself. He didn't know how it happened. But one of the points that I made is he had to put the seed in the ground and leave it there. You can't put a seed in the ground for 10 minutes and then pull it out and let it stay out for 3 or 4 hours and then put it back in for 10 minutes and then out for a day and then for 10 minutes. And see, this is the way that so many people's life with the Word of God is. They have a little devotion in the morning and they read the Word for 10 minutes and then the rest of their day they go out and they're just dog eat dog. They stab people in the back. Maybe if, you know, they're a traveling salesman or something, they misrepresent their products. They put down the opposition and stuff and they manipulate and shade the truth. You know what? That's going to uproot the Word of God. You need to let the Word of God, the scripture that says don't bear false witness. It didn't just say don't lie. It says don't bear false witness. Don't give a false impression to people. You need to let that dwell in you so that it permeates you. And all during the day, if you're out trying to sell your product, you don't ever misrepresent anything. You always tell the truth. And see, it just needs to permeate your life. And yet there's so few people who do this. And this is what Jesus is teaching. This is how the kingdom works. The Word is a seed. It has to be planted in your heart. And Satan is going to come against it. So there was, in this parable of the sower sowing the seed, there's four different types of people represented. And I believe it's because basically every person fits into one of these categories. The first type is a person who hears the Word, but they're so hardened towards it that the Word never penetrates their understanding. It never really gets down on the inside. They might even be able to quote a scripture, but they've never applied it to their life. It just didn't ever penetrate them, and Satan can just steal the Word from them. The second type of person is a person who hears the Word, and it did penetrate them, and they were excited about it. But when they get affliction and persecution over what they believe, they lose their enthusiasm. They're more moved by what people have to say than what God has to say. The third type of person, and this is what I was dealing with yesterday, is a type of person where the Word is important to them. It has taken root. They've gotten past the point of caring what other people have to say, and the Word of God is literally beginning to produce fruit in their life. But then they just get occupied, as it says here in verse 19, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the Word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know what this is picturing is just like in a garden. If you plant your seed, if you don't go weed that seed, that garden, if you don't take out all of the other things that will grow in that soil that you don't want, like say, for instance, if you've planted tomatoes, you've got to weed out all of that grass and all of the thorns and everything else because the ground only has so much nourishment, nutrients in it. And if you have multiple things growing there, well, then some of the nutrients that could have gone to the growth of the plant that you want are going to go to the growth of these weeds, the grass, the thorns, and other things. And you only have so much nutrients in a soil, and what it'll do, it'll diminish the size of the crop. If you have weeds and thorns in a garden, you still will get something growing up, but the fruit will be dwarfed because it just doesn't have the nutrients. The plant won't produce the same as if you dig around it and weed it. I think most people understand that. Well, in the same way, in the spiritual realm, you only have so much that you can give your attention to. Your heart is not meant to be divided. Your heart is meant to be completely upon God and upon the things of God. Now, I know that there's some of you, as I start to say these things, you're thinking, well, yeah, you're a preacher, and that's what you're supposed to do. But no, I work a secular job, and I do this, and I can't, you know, I only spend a short period of time in the Word. You know, the Scripture says that you can meditate in the Word of God day and night. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, that is not for ministers only. It says that these are the weapons of our warfare, and we can bring every thought into captivity and under obedience to Christ. It doesn't matter if you work a secular job. It doesn't matter what you do. You can keep your mind stayed on God constantly all of the time. I know that there's many of you that think you can't do that. You can do that. Let me illustrate it this way. Have you ever had a problem like at home with your kids or with your mate? Have you ever had a fight or if there's contention or something going on and so you've got hurt or pain or rejection or maybe you're worried about one of your family members, they're sick and you just got a report that they're going to die or something like that. Have you ever had that on your heart so much that you go to work and all day long you still are able to do your job, you're still able to enter your data on the computer, you're still able to travel and make the sales, you're still able to do whatever, but you know what? That situation is never out of your thoughts. You worry about it, you are thinking about it, you're asking to give you direction, and you are still doing your job, and yet your attention is really stayed on some other situation. I bet you every person watching this program has had that happen to them. Well, the same part of you that worries is the same part of you that meditates. Worry is nothing but meditation on something negative from an unbelief perspective. Meditation is just taking what God says and thinking about it and mixing it with faith. And so my point is that if you can go to work and still worry over something or be preoccupied with some situation at home, then you could also go to work and keep your mind stayed on the Lord. You can do that. And I know that this is a new wrinkle in some of y'all's brains. And you think, well, I've never thought that way. The average Christian actually has their life segmented into the religious or the Christian part and then the secular part over here. But it shouldn't be that way. God wants to be in all of your thoughts. In all of your thoughts. Well, let me read this passage to you. I was reading this last night. This is going to shock some of you. But in Psalms chapter 10, it says in verse 4, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts." You know what? There's a lot in this verse, but it's saying that the reason that the wicked don't seek after God is because of the pride. Pride is not only arrogance. Pride is just self-centeredness, just focused on self. And it is a preoccupation with self, a love for self, and just constantly trying to satisfy every whim and lust that we have that keeps people from seeking God. And then it goes on to say, God is not in all his thoughts. And it's presenting that as a wicked person. You know, today, there's a lot of people that would take great offense at this, and we now define wicked. Matter of fact, it would be politically incorrect for us to ever say anybody is wicked. But the Bible makes it clear that there are righteous people and there are wicked people, and the Lord says it's wicked for God not to be in all of your thoughts. That's a strong statement. I could pair this with so many other scriptures. Isaiah 26:3 says that the Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusteth in him. The Lord keeps you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him, not when you just go there every once in a while. There's other verses that say the just shall live by faith. They don't just vacation there once a year. They don't go there on weekends. It isn't a holiday. You have to live in faith. You have to live there. It has to be a dwelling place. And the problem is that so few people are completely committed to God. God is just an appendage on their life. He's a part of their life, but not a center focus of their life. And yet they want all of the results that loving and serving God is going to produce, but they don't want to do it completely. They just want to go spend 1 hour a week serving the Lord. Again, that would be similar to you taking a seed and putting it in the ground for an hour and then digging it up and leaving it out of the ground until the next Sunday and you go plant it and put it in the ground for an hour. Or it would be like for taking a 15 minutes every morning where you put the seed in the ground and then you dig it up and leave it out the rest of the day. And then the next day you have a little devotion and you put your mind on the Lord, but then you go out and live your own lifestyle. That's not how it is. This parable in Mark chapter 4 is saying that after you've passed these first two hurdles and the Word of God is beginning to work in your life, be careful that the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things don't enter in and choke the Word of God. You have to give priority to the Word of God. I believe personally that you can keep your mind stayed on God. You could have a time in the morning where you read a scripture and you could meditate on that scripture all the rest of the day, and you could literally let the Word of God dwell in you all day long and still go perform your job and still do a good job. And I know that there's people who criticize me and think, well, you know what, you just aren't dealing with reality. You're a preacher. All you do is live around Christians all the time. You don't know what it's like to work a secular job. You know, let me say that I haven't always been a preacher. I admit I lived a very secluded or sheltered life. But then I got drafted and I got sent to Vietnam. And you can say what you want to, but I don't think that there's anybody anywhere that was pulled from more of a secluded, sheltered upbringing and put into more of an ungodly situation than I was. I mean, I have been around people that were blaspheming, cursing God day and night, doing dope, going out on the weekends and having sex with anybody and everybody and bragging about it. And I was in a situation in the military where literally the drill sergeant, as a favor to all of his cronies in there, they turned our barracks into basically a thing where the guys could bring in their girlfriends, their wives, their prostitutes, or whoever, and have all of the sex that they wanted, and made me stand guard on it and protect them as they did this so that none of the brass could find out what was going on. I've been in situations where I was ridiculed and made fun of. They started every session with me. They would have me stand up there, and the drill sergeant would say, "Preacher." And they would have me stand there, and they'd have somebody come up and tell about how he raped a woman over the weekend, about the prostitute that they went into, about whatever. And he would have them stand right next to me and say these things just to make fun of me. And he says, "You hate me, don't you, preacher?" And I mean, I've been in those ungodly situations. I could go on and on. I could say a lot of things. I've been in some bad situations. And you know what? In those situations, the Word of God dwelled in me. I didn't have a Christian part of my life and an unchristian part. I lived the same all of the time. I was able to function. I was able to pass all of the tests. I was able to do what I needed to do. I lived through Vietnam. I was in transient bunkers where I was the only person out of 100 people in there that wasn't on dope and doing something and drunk and doing things, and yet I was able to keep my mind stayed on the Lord. I was able to study the Word. You're just barking up the wrong tree when you say, "Well, you just don't understand." I guarantee you, the Scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-5, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. You can succeed in any situation. You can take the Word of God and you can put it preeminent. And I don't care how busy your life is. I don't care how bad your work situation is. I don't care how bad your home life is. It doesn't matter what the situation is. If I had time, I could just take this point and I could go back to the Word of God and I could illustrate this over and over and over through the lives of people recorded in Scripture where they came through terrible tribulation. They came through situations where their brothers mocked them, Joseph and all of these things, and yet he prospered. He was thrown in prison. He was falsely accused, and yet he kept his heart and his mind stayed on the Lord, and he kept his integrity, and because of it, the Word of God worked in his life. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he says that he was putting God first. He says he counted everything else, all of his accomplishments, everything that he had done, and he accomplished more than most people. He says, I count them all but dung so that I might know Christ. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And in that same context, Philippians chapter 3, he says, this one thing I do. Forgetting the things that are behind, I press forward towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's secret was that he did one thing. He sought God with his whole heart. Now, Paul also had to make tents, and he worked a secular job in order to pay not only his way, but the people that were with him. Paul worked a job. He had to increase finances and he had to travel, and he did a lot of things. But you know what? Paul's focus was always on one thing. Not every person watching this program is called to be a preacher. You aren't all called to be on television the way I am. But you know what? Every one of us is called to know God and to put God first in your life. And you are called. If you want to see the abundant life that Jesus has provided for you work, you are called to take this word, the seed, and hide it in your heart and seek God with your whole heart. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you'll do that, you'll make a better CEO and an executive. You'll make a better janitor. You'll make a better garbage collector. You'll make yourself better whatever you're doing. I actually had a story told me about one guy who was a garbage collector. And he felt with all of his heart that he was called by God to do that. He said that if somebody doesn't collect the garbage, then there would be disease run rampant. There would be all kinds of problems. I mean, it would affect the quality of life of everybody in the community. And he believed God called him to collect garbage, and he did it with the best attitude. He had a happy attitude when he saw people, instead of taking their garbage cans, you know, and after you empty it, just throwing it and let it roll down the street and leave a trail of trash and all of this. Man, he did it with all of his heart. He set the garbage can right side up. He was happy and ministered to people, and he believed with all of his heart he was making a difference in the lives of people that he came in contact with on a daily basis. You don't have to be a preacher, but you know what? That man, every man, every woman, all of us have been called to glorify God. And I don't care what your job is. It doesn't matter what your job is. You will be a better beautician. You will be a better lawyer. You will be a better doctor if you do it with your heart stayed on the Lord. You need to take the Scriptures, the Word of God, and hide it in your heart. And don't let the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the Word. Don't become so busy with your profession, with your family, with your church, that you don't have time for God. I could literally let the ministry destroy my relationship with God. You know, that we just had a meeting with some of the Economic Development Council and the City Council of this Woodland Park where we just bought some property. And we had a meeting with all of those those people. And anyway, they were asking us questions about what are you going to do here? And they were asking us some of these detailed type questions. And you know what? I had to tell them on a number of times. I said, you'll have to ask my manager. You'll have to ask the project developer. You'll have to ask this person because I have delegated authority. Now, I still oversee. Matter of fact, we're having a meeting in just the next day or two to, you know, see that everything is progressing the way it should. So I oversee things, but I cannot get in there and deal with every detail and make every decision. The ministry would literally destroy my relationship with God if I allowed it. I have to delegate things to other people. I have to turn things over to other people. And, you know, there's things in this ministry that aren't done exactly the way that I would do it. They're probably done better than I would do it. But you know what? They aren't things that are wrong. I mean, if there was something that violated my convictions, if there was something that I felt was really displeasing to the Lord, I would step in and I'd take control. But barring something like that, you need to give other people the freedom to start doing some things. And I do this because I cannot allow the ministry and the things that God has given me. I can't let that ruin my relationship with God. I can't let that ruin my relationship with my wife. I can't let that take precedent over other things. There's things more important than this ministry. And that's my relationship with God and my relationship with my wife. That's more important to me than this ministry. And you just have to set those bounds. And I really believe that God is speaking through me to some of you today who your intentions are good. And maybe the business that you're in is a God thing. God opened up the door. But I tell you, if you aren't careful, those things will become a monster that you create. And then you have to feed it or it's going to eat you. And you just got to set bounds. You've got to establish priority. And you know what? You got to reach a place to where if the only way you can make your business work is to put in 80 to 100 hours a week working there, then you know what? You aren't, I don't think, trusting God. You need to put some limitations. You need to take some time off. The scripture says, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. You need to be still. You need to take some time off. There are some of you that don't take any time off. You just drive yourself. And yet you wonder why the Word of God isn't working in your life. You're going to have to take some time. Not only quality, but quantity time you're going to have to set aside to spend with the Lord. And if you don't do that, then the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things will enter in, choke the Word of God, and it'll become unfruitful in your life. You, like Paul, need to say, this one thing I do, you need to put God first. And I'm just going to say this. I don't have a scripture that says it, but it's my personal conviction that you cannot put God first in your life without putting the Word of God first in your life. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you aren't truly honoring Jesus if you aren't spending time in the Word of God. Praise God. So I've got a lot more to share about this. I'm going to continue this series into our teachings next week. I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get these materials. And then join me again next Monday as I continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled A Sure Foundation is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD album when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Sure Foundation series titled The Sower Sows the Seed is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started this month, and you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 28th through the 30th, and in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 4th through the 6th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, and in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
You know, we have a lot of information on our website. Not only this teaching that I have about a sure foundation, but I have about, I think it's 8 or 10 years of my television programs are archived there that you can watch free of charge. I have more than that, radio programs that you can listen to. I have hundreds of my teaching tapes that you can download. You talk about getting the Word in you, our website is really one of the best sources on the web, I believe, for getting the Word of God out. And so I encourage you to check it out. We have the address right there on the screen. And if you would check it out, I guarantee you, you will get the Word through our AWMI website.
Tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
You do need to spend time studying the Word, and then what you have studied, you need to take that and learn how to meditate on it day and night. And get to where it's never out of your heart, to where you never uproot that seed, and then you go back the next day and try and plant it again. No, you just get the Word in your heart, and it influences all of your thoughts, it influences all of your actions. Even though you're doing other things and still at work, and even though you're with your family and other things, you still are letting the Word of God dominate you. You can meditate in it day and night, is what the Scripture says.